couple weeks ago, I had the privilege once again to go do something that I've been doing for over 30 years at the school, and that is to be the official starter for track meet. And I enjoyed doing that because that lets me be with the kids, be with some staff, and just kind of enjoy those times together. But in particular, the reason I enjoy doing it is as the starter for those track meets, I can do something with our runners that doesn't happen when they go to other schools or if they qualify and go through the regionals and the districts and to the state. And that is, I can sign to them. And I can explain to them about the race. I can explain to them what's going to happen. So it's always something like this. I'll say, there's going to be two whistles and the gun. On the first whistle, you get down. On the second whistle, you get ready. And on the gun, you run. And it's always amazing to watch them because they went, whoa, I understand what to do. I know what to do. And the other teams are looking like, what in the world is this guy doing? But the point is that, one, they understand. And secondly, they can listen, even though it's through sign language. They can listen to what's going to happen. I also have the honor sometimes of doing middle school track meets. That's an experience. When you have a race, you do first call, second call, third call. Somewhere between second and third call, when everybody needs to be there, the tracksters will begin moving down to whatever the event is. Except in a middle school track meet. When they hear first call, they're all there with their friends, all their girlfriends, and you'll have 20 in a race, but you'll have 100 of them down there. And you have to weed them out and get those that don't belong there. You have to get them somewhere else. And then it's not explaining. It's telling them now what you have to do. They'll say, I have to run all the way down there? I've never done this before. Or do I have to jump? Yeah, I have to jump those things that are out there. They don't even know they're called hurdles. Do I have to jump those things out there on the track? Yeah, you got to jump those things. Can I go around them? Nope, you got to go over them. And so you have to explain this to middle school kids, whether they're hearing or deaf, it really doesn't matter. Third thing, and Rachel, I told you I was going to talk about you tonight, but I'm not going to talk about you. But our track is one of few tracks that you'll go to that on the inside of the track, all the way around it, there's a curb. It's an aluminum curb. It's about 4 inches maybe high. And it becomes an obstacle to the visiting people because they're always tripping over it because you don't expect to have a curb. But that curb has a purpose. And that purpose is during the week, when they have the visually impaired students out there, they use that curb as their guide. They tap their cane on the side of that curb so they can walk around the track by themselves. If it wasn't there, they would just kind of have to guess where they were on the track. This year we have a partially sighted, we actually have two partially sighted runners. And so when I'm down there with them, I always put him on the inside because he knows where the curb is. Now, he doesn't run with a cane, but he's familiarized himself enough with going around that track, he knows where that curb is. And so when we shoot the gun, boom, he runs with everyone else. The point of all of this is whenever I'm explaining to them, the one thing they have to do is they have to listen. And they have to remember what it is that they have to do. Tonight, I want us to look at some verses of Scripture from 1 Samuel, the third chapter, verses 1 through 10. And the reason or the point behind what we're going to be talking about tonight is the importance of listening, how important it is that we listen. Listen, if you will, as I read along with you from 1 Samuel, the third chapter, verses 1 through 10. And it said, "The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." One of the things as I was reading some of the commentaries regarding these verses of Scripture, when it talks about the word of the Lord was precious in those days, there was no open vision. For a period of time, there had not been a lot of communication between God and the prophets. And some of the modern translations of this particular verse actually say that the communication was dry during that time. In other words, there wasn't a lot going on. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of the God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli, and he said, "Here am I. For thou callest me." And he said, "I called you not. Lie down again." And he, Samuel, went, and he lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose, and he went to Eli, and he said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and he went to Eli and he said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went, and he lay down in his place. And the Lord came, and he stood, and he called as he had the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Tonight, as we think about those verses of Scripture, as I was reading them and read them several times from different translations of the Scriptures, one of the memories of my childhood kept coming back, and that was at night, when my sister and I would go in my parents' bedroom and we would lie on the foot of the bed and my dad would read the Bible. This was one of the stories that I remembered, because my dad, oftentimes when he would read this story, I would look over at him, and he wouldn't even be looking at his Bible because it was such a familiar story that he knew it. And probably most of us in here couldn't quote it verbatim, but we could pretty much tell this story. But it says that the Lord called Samuel. And when we think about that, Samuel had to do something. He had to listen to that call that God gave to him. Do you know sometimes listening is difficult? Do you have a hard time listening sometimes? Sometimes we men are accused of having selective hearing, that we only want to hear or listen to what it is that we want to hear. Are we listening? Are we listening when God calls to us? Think about Samuel. What would have happened had Samuel not listened to that call? Well, when Eli told him to just go back and go to bed, if he had, you know, heard that call and just covered his head with a pillow because he didn't want to go through that again of going back in to see Eli. What would have happened? Are we listening when God calls us? Samuel's ministry for God actually began that night when God called him and he answered. We too, when God calls us, we can answer, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." How does God speak to us? Sometimes it's in that very, very quiet voice. And it might be at a time that it's totally unexpected. But there's that quiet voice or that conscience inside of us that tells us we need to do something, or we need to go somewhere, or we need to call this individual. But it's just a quiet voice in our conscience. Sometimes God doesn't speak to us directly. Sometimes he uses the voices of other people. It could be a friend, could be our pastor, could be a total stranger that he uses to talk to us. He might use us to be the voice, to speak to other people. So all I can say to that is we need to be ready. We need to be ready when God tells us to do something. Sometimes he speaks to us through the Bible as we read and we study it. Sometimes he comes to us in visions or dreams. Have you ever been awakened during the night and you just can't go back to sleep? Any number of times I've heard Brother David, and I've heard other pastors say, "Well, you might want to get up and go spend some time with the Lord. You might want to get up and take your Bible and just open it up and read some scriptures, because it may be the Lord who has awakened you and he has a message for you." To hear him, we need to be listening. We are not always good listeners. The other thing as we look at this story of Samuel was that he not only listened, but he was obedient. He was obedient, first of all, to Eli, because Eli told him what to do after he had been in the third time. He told him the next time, just say, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Not only did he hear, but he was ready to obey. He had no idea what God would say next. He didn't hesitate. He didn't know what God was going to tell him, but he didn't hesitate. This maybe should be our motto: obedience to God regardless. Regardless of what it is that God has for us, we need to be obedient to Him. So that's the story. That's the story of how Samuel got started. In verses 19 and 20, we see a little bit more about Samuel. It says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord." So through his obedience, the people around him understood that Samuel was to be a prophet of the Lord. Let me share with you four things. Whenever we are reading our Bible, let each of us say, like Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Whenever we are praying, let us each say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Whenever we are doing our activities during the day, let each of us stop and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Whenever we wake up during the middle of the night, let each of us say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." What a wonderful response. What a wonderful response that would be whenever God just impresses something on us. Someone He may want us to visit. Something He may want us to do. Some place He may want us to go. That whenever we feel that in our conscience, that we simply say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." How long has it been since you've asked the Lord to make your heart receptive to His word? He wants to hear each one of us say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Father, we just come and we thank you once again for tonight. We thank you that we've been able to come into your house. We've been able to open your word. And Father, I just thank you so much for this sweet, sweet fellowship that we are allowed to be a part of. And Father, I just pray right now that as we leave here, as we go our different ways, that whenever we feel you speaking to us, or sometimes, Lord, when there's just an emptiness in our life, and we need to hear something from you, that at those times, we would just simply say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And go with us now as we leave. Be with the choir as they come together and as they prepare for this Sunday. And Lord, we just lift up this Sunday to you, and we ask that you touch the life of an individual who would be here on Sunday, someone who needs to know you as her personal Lord and Savior. Lord, that this week, this Sunday in particular, would be the day that they would come to accept that free gift of eternal life. And Father, we just thank you for the decision that Dave made last week. And Father, I just know that the marriage between he and Denise will be stronger because of his relationship to you. Protect him now as he travels back to St. Augustine. And Father, we just look forward to when he returns and we can just hear about the difference that you've made in his life. Now go with us as we leave. In Jesus' name, amen.